Thank you, everybody. It's my third time back. I'm no longer a visitor, but whether you like it or not, I'm family now. Is that all right? I feel like I come home, and this is it. I even have one of the Hub's new Bibles. Whoa! It's more anointed, you know. I was like trying to carry it and stand up, you know. It's... And Rose filled me in on how to do the app. Now I can do all that. So God's good, isn't he? All the time. God is good. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but he's still good. Some days we know God loves us and he's dealing with us, and some days we just want to say, God, just lighten up on the love today. Just let me get through a little bit, you know. We were born for such a time as this. It's a common statement, a little too common. But I want to tell you, we truly are. This is our watch. This is our day. This is our responsibility. This is our mandate. God, what have you called me to do? This. To bring reconciliation. For I have given unto you the ministry of reconciliation. The finding the will of God is not hard. Go bless somebody. Go lead somebody to Christ. Go serve somebody. And you're right there in the will of God. And you don't even need a vision or a prophetic word for it. See, isn't that just simple? I don't know about you, but I like simple. Jesus was the wisest man who ever lived, and the poor people heard him gladly. Everybody understood Jesus. You know, Seriously. I just don't do this. My legs like feel like jelly. It's probably your fault. Breathe. Yeah, like that. Yeah, okay. You know, I was sitting there thinking this morning before the lady got up and shared about spring rain. I was thinking of that scripture, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. One thing I do know, that if you hear the sound, you'll see the rain. If you hear the sound of your promise, you will see your promise. If all we have is mental assent and knowledge, guess what? We're just going to be wishing and hoping. But right here in our Noah, we got to hear the sound of what God wants to do in us, of what God wants to do through us. Here in our Noah, we got to hear the sound. God says, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to bless you. This is what I want to take you. This is me. And we start to hear something on the inside. And when we start to hear it on the inside, we start looking for it on the outside, because you only ever get what you look for. I love you. I mean, I love everybody, but she just... You know, you ever like, you thought about God, said we are God's co-workers, co-laborers? Have you ever sort of looked at yourself and thought he must have been short of staff? When he puts you on, you're like, really? Really? I know me. I know me. And yet God is relentless in his choice to fulfill his dreams with you and I. He is relentless. He will not ever let that go. This is God's call. And so many days we feel inferior, and so many days we don't feel worthy, and so many days we don't feel like we're on task. And God's watching us saying, come on, you can do this. Come on, girl. Come on, son. Let's go for it. Because even when you don't believe in you, God believes in you. Even when you don't love you, God loves you. Even when you say, I have nothing, God says, you have everything I've given you. You know, I love the statement, when we're faithless, he is faithful. And we hear that quite a bit, but I don't know about you, but I want to be as faithful to Jesus as he is to me. I don't want to use that as a get out of jail free card. I don't want to live a faithless life in word and deed. I want to speak God's word. I want to speak well of God. I want to speak well of people. I want to speak well. We talked about honor. Can I tell you, that's what it's all about. Not all about, but it's part of it. That we can be as faithful as Jesus, because you know what? We grow every day in Christ. And we can be as faithful to him as he is to us. That's just my little thing. Has nothing to do with the word I'm preaching, but I just wanted to put it out there. Because, you know, it's going to take a faithful group of people to get the job done for God. It's going to take people who are going to show up and lean in. It's going to take people who will take the knocks and get back up. It's going to take people who will climb a little higher, press a little harder, push a little further. I want to talk about today. This is two scriptures that I've shared here before, I think. Well, one turns up every time I share. I don't plan it, but that's just the way it is. But there are two forces, remember, in the world today looking for your attention. Two voices. They're scanning people's hearts. They're scanning people's lives because they want their attention. Now, these two voices are the best of good and the worst of evil. They are the most creative force and the most destructive force. They have your good in mind and they have your destruction in mind. Two total bookends. One is looking to empower, one is looking to destroy. One is looking to unite, and one is looking to divide. But where I want to land today is that one is looking for faith in the earth and people who will know him, people who will trust him, people who will lean on him, people who will show up when they feel like don't showing up. And one is looking to input fear to bring destruction and to stop us in our tracks. Fear and faith. You see, 1 Peter 5, 7, 8 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded and alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to destroy. In Job 1, 7, where have you come from? Said the Lord to Satan. From roaming the earth, he replied, going back and forth. 2 Chronicles 16:9, this is the one that keeps showing up because I believe it's prophetic over this place. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on their behalf, on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So God's looking for a group of people too, to build, to go out and be and grow the bride of Christ And the enemy wants to destroy everything. See, he doesn't have the power to stop you, but if he can convince you to stop you, then he's won. See, I was interested because these scriptures, there's scriptures in the Bible that refer to Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but this also refers to Satan as a lion. And it just dumbfounded me a little bit because I thought I didn't know what to do with that. So I went and had a look at the real lion tribes and families, because that's what God uses. He uses nature, winds, scenery, whatever. See, the king lion, like the lion of the tribe of Judah, is the king lion like we see, like we know. But you see, in Revelation, let me give you the scripture so you know it's in the Bible here. Revelation 5:5, do not weep, says, for behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. That's Jesus. He is the king lion. And then there is a lion called a roaring lion. Go figure. The roaring lion is an inexperienced young lion kicked out of a tribe for causing division and insurrection. Generally, the roaring lion wanted to dethrone its own father, and it is kicked out of the tribe, or the pride, I think it's called, isn't it? The roaring lion becomes a wandering wanderer. They are a smaller lion. They are dirty. They are angry and lean. I wanted to use those two things today and talk about three ways that fear and faith speak in everyday life. Is that all right? Now, you might find 100, but I just picked 3 because I think they pretty much total everything. Number one, fear paralyzes and faith motivates. I'm going to put these on. It's a whole different book I'm looking at down here with these. You're a little blurry, but that's all right. You still look great. See, fear causes us to act directly opposite to faith. You know, I watched this movie, probably one of the very few chick flicks I like, called Holiday in the Wild. And she's walking up the lighted path in there, and all of a sudden this lion roars. And all of a sudden she stops, just absolutely frozen with fear. Now, wouldn't you think if you were truly afraid, you'd run away and hide? Instead of saying, this is where I am. Like she said, how far away is that lion? You know, and he said, oh, he's a little way and whatever. See, fear makes us act contrary to common sense half the time. I don't say this lightly, but I had a trouble. I was afraid of the dark till I was in my 30s. You know, you could put a light on and I was good to go. But as soon as that light went off, I just knew there was a boogeyman out there somewhere coming to get me. I knew it. So you know what I did? I put a light on so he could see me now. It makes no sense whatsoever, does it? You know, I mean, wouldn't you think you'd want to hide from the boogeyman? No, no, no. No, I felt better because I put a light on. And if you learn anything from the movies, you know the first thing when you're under attack is turn the lights off so they can't see you. See, fear, it makes us act contrary to common sense. It can blind us. See, God was speaking to Joshua, and he said over and over again, he said, go forth afraid, go forth afraid. It's like Joshua hadn't even started his journey, and God's telling him not to be afraid. That's pretty scary to me if God's telling you not to be afraid and you haven't even started. Seriously, like what? Is there something out there? God's like, not telling you. I am telling you not to be afraid, because you will have opportunity to be afraid. See, fear, you know what, like somebody said once, and I never forgot this, fear of poverty, sorry, poverty is not a lack, it's a fear of letting go. Fear of letting go. See, you can't give to God with a closed fist. God can't give to you with a closed fist. Fear is when we all close up. Fear of being poor. Fear of being rejected. Fear of being truly loved. Fear of going again. And we shut down and we close up because fear wants to stop us winning and walking in everything God has for us. And if fear can, it will stop you in your tracks and shut you down, and we'll become walled cities. Is this all right? Oh, you don't have to clap. I was just wanting to make sure you still love me or something. You know, I have a confidence issues, you know, so. You got to stop doing that, because when you do that, my knees go. See, when I'm afraid to love, I'm closed up. Afraid of being rejected, so I don't even try. Afraid of being poor, so I just hang on to what I've got. Afraid of failing, so I don't begin. Afraid of making mistakes, so I don't try. Afraid, or maybe I've tried one of these and it didn't work, so now I've shut myself down. Can I tell you, when Peter got back to the boat, if Jesus had asked him to go again, he would have thought twice about it. Seriously, first time he didn't know what he was in for. He's like, we can do this, we got this. The second time he'd be like, John, I think it's your turn. One of you 11 need to get out and get wet. But you see, fear wants to stop you, wants for you to stop believing in you, and wants to stop you thinking that God believes in you, wants you to stop start believe. Seriously? I mean, fear wants to just shut you down and shut you in and shut you up, so that you are not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. If the enemy can get you to stop believing in yourself, can I tell you, he has won the battle for your future. He has won the battle for your future. Fear makes us closed up. Have you ever met people like we call them walled cities, like they got these walls all around them, and it's like you just can't get in because they're in protection mode, defensive mode. But can I tell you, if you really want to become everything God has for you, you've got to open your hand and you've got to start to trust again and have faith in God to do it. See, faith is open. Faith is vulnerable. Faith is honest. Faith just is. You open your hand and you give. And you live a life of generosity in all areas. You're giving and giving and giving and loving and helping and comforting and serving. You're giving. Can I tell you, your hand is open, your heart is open, and God will sow back to you heaven's reward. But when we shut up and we shut down and all we're just trying to do is protect ourselves, then we stop the reward of heaven. and the blessings of heaven that only faith can bring. God gave me a word in Egypt that you cannot walk the road of negativity and fear and reap the rewards of faith. One of my favorite sayings is, don't let the fear of what could happen stop you from letting nothing happen. Someone said, what have you got to do not ever to be criticized? Well, you can stay in bed. You can just play safe all you like and nobody will criticize you, but I want to tell you, you'll never get anything done. You'll never get anything accomplished. Only people doing stuff trip over. Only people going fall over. Only people moving need adjustment. So fear, afraid to give, afraid to love, afraid. Somebody might reject me again. So you know what? I'm just going to play safe. And yet God might have his promise on someone on the other side of that healing that you need. Before I came here, I was praying yesterday and I felt something Tim reminded me that there are lonely people here and God wanted to minister to you today. Not so much maybe even loneliness, but there's an aloneness. And I believe after the service, if you want prayer, we will minister to you. We have a great prayer team here. But let God touch you in the service. You know, he says, don't be afraid of opening your heart and opening your hand. Don't let fear deprive you of the goodness of God, the goodness of people. Not everybody will let you down. Not everybody will hurt you. Very few people. We open our hand and we open our heart. That is faith before God. Like Paul said, I stand open before him with whom I have to do. God, I am an open book. Some pages aren't so nice, but I'm an open book before you. Number two, faith is quiet, constant, and consistent. Fear comes with a constant nagging, 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 like that roaring lion. Roar, roar, roar. He just feels like he's got to make a noise because he's angry. He wants you to be afraid. You see, the faith, you know what I love about faith? Faith just is. It just is. Faith is quiet. Faith is solid. Faith is God. Faith just is. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to push it. You don't have to defend it. You don't. Faith is. Fear is this constant nagging that goes on between our ears. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Why would you try? You're not going to make it. This is not going to make it. You'll never get through. You'll never get that job. It's constant nagging to oppose everything God has for you. And it starts up here between our ears. You see, what fear wants to do, it wants to drown out the voice of God in your mind and your heart till all you hear is the voice that you can't do it, won't make it, won't get that job. Why would I try? You know, statistically, we speak at 200 words a minute, 250, some a little slower. Some make up for the others. But we think at 1,300 words a minute. At 1,300 words a minute, you are your best friend or your worst nightmare. We can't blame anybody else. That's how I talk to me, or what I listen to. I'm either telling myself at 1,300 words a minute, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'm telling myself at 1,300 words a minute, all things are possible. I'm telling myself at 1,300 words a minute, we're going to get up on this mountain. God's going to take us a little higher. We're going to go a little harder. We're going to push a little further. At 1,300 words a minute, you're preaching to yourself and you'll either be the greatest preacher or the worst preacher you ever heard. And we can't even blame somebody else for that. That's a tragedy. You ever wake up at 2 a.m. and it's all quiet and that small concern is like building momentum up here, and before you know it, that little bump in the road is a huge mountain. Before you know it, that little worry is a traumatic event. Before you know it, what you were concerned about now is going to kill you. Before you know it, nothing changed when you went to bed. But in the early hours, I call it the fourth watch. In the early hours, this playback goes around and around and around, and the enemy's trying to get you to quit. So you wake up tired and you wake up defeated and you wake up and you think, what is the point? But God said, man, if he is so afraid of you that he wants to keep you awake at night, you are his greatest threat. And you can say, thank you, devil, that you're afraid of me. If he's so scared you're going to win, I want to tell you, you're going to win. He's so afraid you're going to win. He's going to keep you up at night. Guess what? There's your sign. See, this constant roar, 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 be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Who knows what I'm talking about? Be afraid, be afraid. You go to bed thinking about a conversation, you think they don't like me. By the time you're done, they hate you. And they haven't said a word. They just went to bed. And they're like, what happened? I know you hate me. That what? You know it's true. See, you know, faith just is constant. God just says, when you go to bed, when you wake up, it still is. It still is your promise. It still is my faithfulness. It still is your dream. But the enemy wants to come and corrupt that thinking. Somebody said once that you don't have to, you know, you can't stop the birds flying over, but you can stop them making a nest. Can I tell you, he's trying to make a nest. You won't win. You won't win. They don't like you. They don't like you. It'll fail. What if I try and open my hand and it doesn't work? Well, what if it does work? I remember I told this story to the ladies, I believe, that when I was probably 9 or 10, I decided I would swim. Anyone remember the old watering hole at Cotton Tree with the old diving board? Most of you aren't that old, but anyway, it's like... But I decided I was going to swim across the pond. And because everyone else was doing it, and I don't like to be left out. Not even now. So I started swimming across and I got really tired. And as I was getting tired, I started to sink a little bit and swallow a bit of water. And the more I tried, I kept thinking, I'm going to drown, I'm going to drown, I'm going to drown. I was splashing and thrashing, trying not to drown, thinking how stupid I was for even starting it, but that wasn't going to help. And as I thrashed and was so afraid, my legs kicked around and I touched the bottom. I was like, oh. Oh, okay. I'm not going to tell anybody that. I nearly drowned in 3 feet of water. The serious part of it was, if I didn't accidentally touch the bottom, I would have drowned in 3 feet of water. And they would have thought, what happened? And I wouldn't be here to make fun of myself. But seriously, a lot of times we're drowning in 3 feet of water and God says, put your feet down. Put your feet down on the ground. You're drowning and you don't have to do it. You're drowning and God says, no, I want you to stand up. And the more afraid I got, the more I knew I was going to drown. And sometimes the enemy just goes around and around and around till we start to go under. God said, come on now, put your feet on the ground. You got to throw that bird's nest right out of there. They get the exterminators in today. Get the Holy Ghost in there and start to burn some stuff. See, fear just is this constant nagging. Faith says, I love you, I'm for you, and if I'm for you, who can be against you? Faith says, you can climb any mountain because I'm with you. Faith says, you can trust me when you can't see where you're going. Faith doesn't have to nag, it just is. You know what I'm saying today? Anyone ever had those fourth watch mornings? I mean, they're awful. You just wake up and you're mad at the world and don't know why and you're tired. And hope you're getting something out of this besides me being stupid, nearly drowning in 3 foot of water. In all seriousness, though, we go under when God said, you don't need to. You're not really drowning. Put your feet down. The enemy tries to overwhelm you with fear so that you'll quit. God wants to overwhelm you with faith and trust in Him. I see this king lion. You know the king lion, they say that he wakes up in the morning, he gets up and he does a bit of hunting and a bit of housework or whatever he does, I don't know, he does his thing around the place. But then he takes his position at the edge of the tribe and most of his day is spent in silence. He sits there and he's just scanning, scanning, scanning to protect his tribe, to protect his pride. He's watching for the roaring lion. He's watching for the enemy that wants to come and rob and steal and destroy his pride. He's watching. And you better be certain, when the king lion roars, it's not at his pride, it's at the enemy. It's at the enemy. When he roars, you better take notice and you better run because there's an enemy coming to that pride. And he said, I'm the king lion. I am King Jesus. And I'm going to stop you coming to rob, to steal and destroy. And I'll protect my pride. I'll protect my tribe. I'll protect my people. I'm here and I'm watching. I'm watching. Somebody told me once that, and I was going to put in my next point, but it's going to fit better now. Somebody told me once, see, I don't plan well. They told me once that these two lions are like the Lion King. I never saw the Lion King. But I was watching Priscilla Shriver once. Priscilla Shearer. She's an amazing preacher, amazing woman of God. And she did this clip. And it was the lion, the king lion's little son. And he was sitting there, this little cub, and the hyenas were coming to attack him, and he's trying to growl, and he's trying to work up a growl and a growl, and they're like, is that all you got? And when they got closer, all of a sudden, there's this godly roar that came in from behind him. This roar when the king just stepped up, and the wind of that roar blew everything right back, blew those demons back to hell. That's what happens when the king roars. Oh my God. We want him to roar, not tiptoe through the tulips. He roared. And the wind of that roar. And I was like, wow, I got to see that movie. But I want to tell you, when Jesus roars and when God gets up and God speaks, the enemies bow, the enemies run. And the last one, excuse me, faith keeps our battle in the spirit world. Fear takes it to the carnal world. You see, when we talk about fear and faith, we're talking about a spiritual journey. We're talking about spiritual promises. We're talking about spiritual words, spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual journey. Like when David stood before Goliath, I think I said it last time, the first thing Goliath wanted to do was have David look at himself. What am I, a dog that you bring like a kid with a stick? And he tried to intimidate David because Goliath understood if he could get David's eyes off God onto his own size in comparison with Goliath's size, that would have wiped David out right there. David by himself could not fight Goliath, but with God he could. And what Goliath wanted to do was have David feel like so small, like he didn't matter, like he was insignificant, like what was he doing on this battlefield? What was he doing here? Oh, what a blessing. Is that for me? Thank you, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Can I keep this here? Thank you. Now, I'll apologize for spilling it before I do. You see, what fear wants to do is take your eyes off the bigness of God and put it on the smallness of yourself and compare it with your need and where you want to go and what you want to do. And once you start trying to fight that battle from the flesh, you have lost it. You have lost it because you cannot win a spiritual battle with fleshly fighting. Even might sound good and logical, you still can't win a spiritual battle with flesh. See, faith wants us to take the battle to the heavenlies, where our King is, where we're seated, where we're supposed to fight from. But fear all of a sudden starts to cave in and it's saying, look how small you are. Look, you've got this big bill and you've only got $5. What are you going to do about that? And you start like, yeah, I've only got $5 here. This is all I've got. I've only got $5. Then if you go to bed like the last point, you'll have nothing in the morning. But anyway, I've only got $5. But see, now I've gone from a spiritual promise and I'm trying to fight with carnal ideas. I've only got $5. God said, I need you to look up because I got more than $5. If the enemy can get you to look at what you have and your size and your capabilities compared to the promise that God has set in front of you, I want to tell you, you will lose that fight hands down every time. I often think of when they went into the promised land. The first time. 12 spies all saw the same thing, heard the same thing, and yet came out with two totally different answers. It's not what we see, it's how we see what we see, how we process it. And so these guys come in and they're tired. And they start running their mouth because now they're facing spiritual giants that they need God to fight for them and with them. And they have wiped God out of the equation. They're saying, it's too big for us. It's too hard for us. We were grasshoppers in their sight and so we were in ours. We're too small. It's too hard. And they started coming out trying to fight a spiritual battle with carnality. That's basically what it was. They forgot about the water coming out of the rock and the manna coming down from heaven. You see, that's what the enemy does. He wants to remind you. He wants you to look right there in front of you. God wants you to remember your testimonies. Remember what he's done for you. It's interesting that 40 years later, Joshua stood at the same place. I wrote the scripture down in case you didn't believe me. In Joshua 6:10, he said, now Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise. Make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth till I tell you to talk. Joshua said, 40 years ago we stood here and you talked yourself out of it. All through the camp that night, God said, I heard the murmuring in their tents. And they talk, it's too hard. Everything, that report multiplied and cost hundreds of thousands their future and their destiny. And Joshua said, now we're not going to do it that way. I'm telling you to shut up until I tell you to talk. That's not exactly what it says, but it's what it means. He's like, I don't have another 40 years for you guys to grow up. He said, we're going to do this thing right now. See, they had a spiritual battle in front of them. But they caved. And they allowed fear and tiredness to rob them of their future. God wants you to trust him all the way. All the way. All the way. The same God who brought you this far is going to take you all the way. And that's for this house. The same God who brought you this far is going to take you all the way. You will see his faithfulness dumped, overload in this place. You will see the faithfulness of God in this house. Like it will be just this massive explosion. God will show up and show out. You will see his glory. You won't have to announce it. You will see God's hand. You will see the awe of God. God says, I've taken you this far and I will take you all the way. All the way. You see, what we need to understand continually, that we're in a spiritual battle, a spiritual walk, and it's only spiritual weapons that'll get us there. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities and powers and dominions and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I've mixed three scriptures in one, but they're all there. Jesus said, you don't fight with anger. You come in the name of Jesus. You don't fight. You don't fight with revenge. You come in the name of Jesus. You don't fight a person. You just submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. God said, I've set before you a table in the presence of your enemies. Whatever you need, come and get you some. You don't have to bow to fear. You don't have to bow to you can't do it, because God said, I called you to do it. I couldn't put the lion example in that one. I tried, but it didn't work. You see, faith motivates us to come on, I can do more. I can grow more. I can be more in God. I can have more in God. We can see more happen in God. Faith is always motivating us. Faith works out of an open hand and an open heart. Faith wants to come, and faith just is. We need to shut down some of those bird's nests that have been built up there and burn them up. Anyone here is an overthinker like I am? It's a gift. Seriously, someone could stub their toe and I'd have them losing the toe, you know, if I'm not careful. But it's like a overthink everything. Can I tell you, that's just going to take you to tiredness and losing battles everywhere. Think it through, but you don't overthink it. And when the enemy wants to come in and tell you you can't, you say, you know what, I can't, but he can. I might be small, but he's really big. And he threw you out of heaven once, and he can throw you out of my life. Because he's got a roar. A roar. That'll shift every demon that's tried to infiltrate your life. Tried to shut you down. When God roars, the devil's like, uh-oh, we're done now. But when you're out there punching air, he's like, that all you got? He doesn't care if you're mad at him, but he cares if God comes after him. So faith is. Faith doesn't have to nag you, it just is. God said, I'm here, he's here. Amen, he's here. He doesn't have to go, I'm here, I'm here, I'm really here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm really here, I'm truly here, I'm truly here. And then always remember, faith takes your battlefield to the spirit world. Always remember that. You cannot win a spiritual fight with a carnal attitude. and carnal words and carnal thoughts. And you just asked hundreds of thousands of people who lost their future and just died, just existed till they die. No, you need faith to fight the battles in your future. You need God and what God can do in His weapons. Amen. Man, did you get something out of that today, you guys? Oh. No, I want to get... So many people get overwhelmed by those nagging things. We're going to finish up if you want to do a song. Is that all right? So many people have this constant barrage of negative thoughts, especially when you're pushing through and believing God for something. God wants to help you today. He wants to help you just unload those thoughts. He wants you to see that they are the enemy of your future. And they're trying to shut you down, and God is trying to raise you up. How many people... they're like that today, that you just get, yeah, there's a lady up there, there would be quite a few, I saw some in here before, yeah. We just got to say, this is the enemy and I'm not going to have it anymore. I'm going to fill my mind with faith in God to take me through. I've been carnal and talking and angry. You know what? God says, throw it aside today. And start to look to the heavens from whence comes your help. Start to let God do it for you.